In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So in today's gospel of this rich young man, I wanted to compare for a moment St. Joseph of Arimathea and the rich young man, because they actually had things in common. You know, both men were wealthy. They were both respected members and leaders of the Jewish community in their times. You know, St. Joseph of Arimathea was a member of the Sanhedrin, and in those days that was kind of like the Supreme Court, you know, for the Jewish people. And the rich young man is referred to also in the other Gospels as a rich young ruler. So presumably he was he held some position of authority in the synagogue. Now, Joseph of Arimathea, however, you know, became a disciple of Christ, and he used his wealth and influence to serve the Lord. After Jesus was crucified, he boldly went to Pontius Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus, and then buried him in his own tomb. And of course, this was quite a brave thing to do, because, you know, he could have been at risk himself of being arrested, but because he was a wealthy and respected man, you know, Pilate was willing to do this for him. And of course, later he was imprisoned by the Jews, but then he was released eventually and exiled, and he traveled to Great Britain and preached the gospel there. The rich young ruler, on the other hand, approached Jesus and inquired how to inherit eternal life, but then did not want to sell all that he had and follow Christ. Rather, he wanted Jesus to tell him some good thing that he could do to inherit eternal life. You know, perhaps use some of his wealth to do some good, maybe make a donation to charity or something like that. But when Jesus tells him what he needs to do to inherit eternal life, he does not want to obey the Lord because he is attached to his wealth and cannot bring himself to part with it. And so in the end, while St. Joseph and this rich young man start out with things that are in common, their lives end up very differently. In the collection of writings of the Holy Fathers called the Philokalia, there's a section called On Building Up the Soul Through the Virtues, and St. Peter of Damascus has some thoughts about when the Lord says to the young man, if you want to be perfect, sell all you have and come and follow me. And he says, it is with reference to this incident that St. Basil the Great observes that the young man lied when he said he had kept the commandments. For if he had kept them, he would not have acquired many possessions, since the first commandment of the law is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your soul, from Deuteronomy chapter 6. The word all forbids him who loves God to love anything else to such an extent that it would make him sad were it to be taken away. And after this, the law says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, in which we find in Leviticus chapter 19. That is, you shall love every man. But how can he have kept this commandment if, when many other men lacked daily nourishment, he had many possessions and was passionately attached to them? If, like Abraham and Job and other righteous men, he had regarded those possessions as the property of God, he would not have gone away sorrowing. And St. John Chrysostom says the same thing. The young man believed that what was said to him by the Lord was true, and this is why he went away full of sorrow, for he had not the strength to carry it into effect. For there are many who believe the sayings of the Scriptures, but have not the strength to fulfill what is written. And yet, when Jesus said to his disciples that it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, his disciples were astonished and said, who then can be saved? And of course, they're not asking this on behalf of themselves, because they, of course, were quite poor, and they had left everything to follow Jesus. They're concerned about everyone else. You know, how is everyone else going to be saved if this is the case? And then Jesus says to them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So even though the rich young man lacked the strength to accomplish what the Lord told him to do, this is an important moment. What does he do then when he doesn't have the strength and the Lord says, you know, sell everything you have? He does not turn to the Lord for help, because really he trusts only in himself and in his possessions and his riches. And this is why he asks the Lord, what good thing can I do to inherit eternal life? In other words, he thinks he has to do something of his own, you know, strength, of his own possessions, his own wealth. And this is where the Lord said, that's not possible. You know, you have to turn to God. And so as St. Theophylact says, the Lord teaches us not to gauge salvation by human weakness, but by God's power. For if one only begins to cease from greed, he will advance to reducing his excess, and from there he will proceed to eliminating even his necessities, and thus he will be prospered along the way by God acting in collaboration with him. So we need to, it's a question of what we're being called to enter into a partnership with God. So we ask God's help, knowing that maybe we're not always strong enough to do everything that he asks us to do, but we also trust that he will help us to do what we need to do. So brothers and sisters, let us therefore put our trust in God, not in our own efforts. For our merciful and loving Lord is always ready to help us, if only we will ask him in prayer. Glory be to our God.